Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 nonprofit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Welcome to Revital Bites, your quick and potent dose of herbal wisdom and mini knowledge nuggets. So this is where we dive into the magic of a single herb or a health-specific topic, rapid-fire style.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We are here to talk about lemon balm.
Lemon balm.
Look at my little...
The glisten, the glow.
It's glowing. Magic, lemon balm.
It's that season one RuPaul's Drag Race grease lens. our Melissa officinalis.
Oh. So good. We use a lot of this. I think we say this every herb we have, except for our second one that we're going to do today.
Yeah.
We use a lot of all of these herbs in clinic.
Yeah, we do. This
is a regular of mine in all my women, children, men.
Gut stuff. Stress stuff.
Stress, yeah. Perimenopause, menopause.
Yeah.
Hormonal. Sleep.
Geriatrics.
Yep.
Like. Pediatrics.
And so safe, this herb too.
So safe. And so easy to grow as well, which is the thing I think people don't realize of how easily accessible it is.
So let's do our sort of bites for lemon balm.
Right.
So we're going to do, what's sort of the gist, the folklore, the backstory?
Gotcha.
The backstory to lemon balm.
What's the lemon balm backstory? So we know... I think it was great to talk about the Latin for it because we love a Latin binomial.
Yes.
Melissa officinalis. Uh-huh. Melissa coming from the Melissae, who were the priestesses of Venus. Mm-hmm. And so like the goddess Venus, the goddess of love, the goddess of attraction. The Melissae were her priestesses. But what was really nice about that is when they passed on, they were said to become bees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such an affinity of Melissa and the bee. Officinalis just being like it's the official form. So that's the Latin binomial. So being that it was a herb that has these sort of connotations and connections to sort of the Venus worship back in the Roman, Greco-Roman era, it's been around for quite a while. It's a herb that we've used for quite a while. And it's no surprising because it's a part of the mint family, the Lamiaceae family. Mm-hmm. And we know that all Lamiaceae herbs are very medicinal. So your things like your mints and your sages and sort of anything with a square stem, those are your Lamiaceae. Okay. But they're full of lots of volatile aromatics. Mm. So it's our beautiful, you know, things like the pungency of the menthol, of the mint, and sort of the sage having such a, you know, a spicy smell and or a pungent smell. And the same things with lemon balm. Like a lot of its medicinal action actually comes from its essential oil production.
It's aromatics.
And so historically being that it's all about the smell, it's like, it's what would the smell evoke? And I think that's the medicine of Melissa. It's the, what is the the smell to you? So the smell for us, what's the smell for you, Jodie? What do you smell?
It's earthy, bitter, and like you say, weedy, I would say. It is okay. Sort of that.
I get none of that. I do. I get that at the base notes.
You get the weedy.
But at the top notes, it's a beautiful citrusy lemon.
Floral. Yeah. I find floral a little bit as well, but lemon I don't get.
Don't get the lemon.
No.
One of the terpenes in there at the top is the citrulline.
I think it's because of the glycerin that we've just tried.
I think it coats it.
But maybe that bitterness, like in the tea, it's subtle.
And also, it's a piss weak tea that we have. Let's be honest. I'm out a quickie one.
You don't consume herbal teas as piss weak.
As piss weak. Normally, you want them strongly brewed. But
stronger the better.
But it's quite an invigorating smell, but it's quite a relaxing, comforting smell, I think, when you smell fresh lemon balm.
For me, the energetics are like woman, like it actually is a womanly feel. Like I feel it's very it's floral. It's a feminine energy.
I mean, the leaves themselves are scallop shaped. It's a heart shaped leaf, but they're scallop. They're like, you know, often sometimes it gets confused with nettle, but that's got raggedy pointed fiery edges. Mm-hmm. And lemon balm is beautifully soft and scalloped. Mm-hmm. And I think there is sort of a softness and a gentleness about the herb. I think that these are quite big terms that ascribe to this, that it's a softness, a gentleness. There's an almost a slowness with the herb as well, which is quite interesting for something that's got such a sort of a fresh smell to it. I think fresh smells being quite speedy, but it's...
But we see it's used in the HPA axis. And it's really essential.
Yep, super essential. So yes, actions, I guess.
Actions and medicinal properties.
So actions and medicinal properties, it is a carminative. Mm-hmm. So it is relaxing for digestive smooth muscles. Mm-hmm. So for those sort of cramps and spasms, it's great at soothing that down.
Yeah.
Because of its the bitter principles you talk about as well, like it's a bit bitter tasting.
Definitely.
It is a digestive or an orexiogenic. So it's helping to stimulate digestion, stimulate bile secretion, stimulates salivation in the mouth. And then also on the HPA axis, on our nervous system, our beautiful little undernourished burnout nervous systems, it's also a calming nervine. So it's a relaxing nervine. I don't know if you've noticed, but since we started, we both slowed down the way we're speaking.
I'm like going back into my chair.
We've had a few little drops of the glycerin. We've had a few sips of tea, and I'm already feeling. Normally, we're quite jazzed up for these, but I'm feeling very relaxed. I'm feeling very it's very sort of laid back, surfy vibes. It's a calming nervine.
Yep.
It also has action on the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
It slows down the thyroid. So in cases of clients with hyperthyroidism or the overactive thyroid, it is great at slowing down that metabolic activity.
Yeah.
And in some individuals who are hypothyroid, the low thyroid, it's contraindicated because it can slow it down so much that it can actually it can increase sort of the goitrogenic aspects and kind of cause goiter to get bigger on the neck. So
we can use it in small doses for the fact of indications where your HPA axis is overdriving and you need to calm that down to get proper function out of the thyroid. So I think it's good to know in that these ways that we look at things, there's not always one size fits, but we have to be careful of the dose dependency.
And
for the thyroid.
And always when we give these little tidbits with you viewers at home and you listeners at home, I think always take into account you're having these with the guidance of a practitioner.
Yes.
And or always remember the old Latin of Paracelsus, which said sola dosis facit venenum, which translates to the poison is in the dose. So it's always about the doses. You can overdo it or underdo it. It's about finding the right level and...
Absolutely, just those little tidbits
there. So actions and indications and we talked about like people who are super stressed or sort of like bloaty or people who get the sort of the classic case is people who get stressed and then their gut goes off because of stress. Yeah. That's a classic picture. And often, what's kind of age group if you think of who have this? It's kids. Yes. It's kids are the ones who they get stressed and the tummy goes funny and they get the sore tummy or they get the bloaty tummy.
Yep.
And for me, there's a real like kid element. We talked about a soft feminine element there, but there's very much like a kid element or a nostalgia element for me with lemon balm, like in the energetics.
Absolutely. And when you think about the level of metabolic activity in a child, it's safe to use in the case of when we're talking about that lower metabolic or lowering metabolic activity, because it's so high already, we're actually not indicated. Well, impacting it so much, plus the dose as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be always very low for children, or young people's. Love it. All right. So, anything else in terms of how we treat or what we do with lemon balm?
What else can we provide
it in?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that the treating the dose is really important to understand lemon balm and to understand lemon balm's most optimized forms.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I talked a lot about. It's a lot of its medicine is actually from the essential oils. So we've got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So whilst we love a dry tea because it's what's available and easy to transport, if you can get fresh lemon balm, that tea is going to slap every time. If you can grow lemon balm and you can make a fresh, just a few sprigs and some hot water is potent.
Yeah.
It's also where we're going to get all that antimicrobial aspect as well, which I want to flip back to in a second, because I think we forgot the real superstar of lemon balm is the antimicrobial in the essential oil. But yeah, you want to go fresh lemon balm, which is also so great. While our beautiful extracts that we have are so amazing, is because they are harvested from fresh. It's one of the few herbal extracts that are often produced with fresh herb matter as opposed to dry herb matter, because it's dry herb matter's got more like concentrations, but this is one of the few that uses fresh herb matter because we're extracting all those volatile terpenes.
Very, very, very important.
It, you know, it's the kind of thing that makes a great like little like lozenge. If you can, if you can brew up a big strong thing of lemon balm and then make that into like a lozenge or a pastille or a little gummy, it's great for that. Great for kids that way. Mm-hmm. Putting the extract into like gummies is great.
Yeah.
I quite like the teas we talked about. You know, if you are financially stable enough to afford a very small bottle of the precious essential oil, that's where the magic happens, because that essential oil and its antimicrobial is specifically indicated for the herpes virus. So cold sores, you know, when those cold sore eruptions, getting fresh lemon balm and putting that on the cold sore, amazing. Super, super magical.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much drinking the tea. I think if that's what you can do and that's what you've got, absolutely do that. You know, if I've got that happening in a client, I might sort of do like a bit of that in the herbal or a bit in the tea. But honestly, that really amazing action comes from that essential oil on top of that that sort of skin eruption.
Yeah. I think that's the misconceptions with herbal medicines, and we're diving into each every time more and more. And it's understanding where its uses are and in what forms, because we're utilizing those individual constituents, terpenes, essential oils, you know.
And how to extract it properly as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not getting that real ingredient in there that we can be utilizing. So, so important to understand that, because many people will try it in a tea and be like, well, it didn't work.
Or try one cup of tea once. Yeah. One piss week tea once. Yeah.
Definitely not going to get rid of your herpes. I'm sorry. So I think it's being smarter about it. About herbal medicine.
It's the art and it's the science and it's sort of those two together.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, our little lemon balm and sort of like our energetics, I feel it's slow moving. It's kind of, it's relaxing in its tissue states. It's, I don't find it cooling.
No.
I find it metabolically cooling, but I don't find it like energetically cooling. I think it's kind of neutral, if anything.
I would say so too. I think it's more neutral. It feels, because of the bitter twist to it as well, I feel like it can initiate a little bit of warmth, but it's not going to overstimulate.
Yeah.
Even with a warm tea, it's not overstimulating in warmth. Yeah.
I think it's got quite an affinity. If you look at like where it grows, being a Lamiaceae plant, it normally would grow in like quite a lot of exposed sunlight, but it's actually, as talked about, it's quite a delicate leaf.
Yeah.
And so I find that it actually grows best when slightly shaded.
Yes.
And I think in that growing, it's great to really think about those individuals who aren't necessarily the most limelight individuals or the people who like the most like outward sort of situations. They were a little bit in the sort of limelight, a little bit shy. It's great for those kind of individuals.
Slightly shaded.
Slightly shaded.
Slightly shaded.
So Yeah, kind of thinking as well, like looking at the way that it grows and sort of the patterning. It's a heart-shaped leaf, so great for like heart medicine once again. Yeah. We've had a few herbs that are great for heart medicine, but it's another one that's really, really nice.
Yeah. We need a lot of heart.
Yeah, need a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
That's so our beautiful little lemon balm.
Any parting words, lemon balm? I know on here you've written Nostalgic Bee Priestess of Venus, which is a... Chris has dressed all of our herbs up in the most amazing languages statements.
Some of them are just jokes because I thought, why not? Let's put a little joke here. But this one is not. This is very much like...
That is the truth.
It's heart medicine. It's the bee priestess of Venus.
Yeah.
It's nostalgia vibes for me. I always think of like, like kids and childhood and having a good childhood. And maybe it's a good little sort of drop dose remedy for people who didn't necessarily have the best childhood and sort of just sort of nurturing that inner child.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Love. All right. Well, until next time, where I know what our next one is, so I'm just going to say it. Tune in for Mugwort. Chris's favorite.
My favorite.
In the next episode.
Favorite.
All right. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.